reading this evening is Psalm 8. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth.
Let us pray. Dear God, our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for this opportunity that we have to come and worship you tonight. We pray that our worship here is acceptable, and I pray that each one of us will have an open mind and an open heart to the songs that have been sung, to the reading, and to the lesson, and that we will take advantage of this opportunity that we have as we live here in America to worship you freely and without cause for harm. We know that there are some places who do not have this opportunity. We thank you so much for the opportunity to pray to you and to petition to you for those who are sick and for those who are hurting. We have so many in our congregation who have people on their minds and in their hearts, those who are sick, those who are having tests, and those who are hurting. And we pray that you would be with them and comfort them and help them and the rest of us to realize that in a world full of choices, that Christ and you and the message that you have given to us is the best choice. And your hand is unchanging, and you will be there to help us when we need you. We pray that you would guide us through this service, and guide us through our lives, and forgive us when we fail you. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
We certainly continue to appreciate your presence tonight. This morning at least one of the services, I mentioned how glad we were to have our young men back participating. We're also glad to have young men like David Sweeney that in a sense grown up here in the last few years and still in our midst and certainly a wonderful part of our work. We have several like that. I appreciate the job that's done in leading the singing by men like Brother Chester Hill this morning, Brother Howard Wade tonight. If we could just get Brother Wade to have a little bit of enthusiasm, I think we would come out all right. We have an excellent song leader in Brother Gary, who is here most of the time, but aren't you thankful that we have men like this who've led us in our singing today and who lead us in other ways? And perhaps we take too many things for granted. I'm sorry that David Life is still under the weather. In a sense, tonight he's here, and we're glad that he's here, but David is still not able to talk at the level that he would like to and needs to be able to preach. David, there is a strong possibility that I may not be here the Sunday night that you're back the 13th to speak, the night that we're having a get-together for you. And I just want to say to David personally how much I appreciate our friendship and our relationship. And certainly we all want to wish David and Linda well in everything that they do, in the work at school and in his preaching that he'll be doing going back to Beacon. I think it says something when a man goes back to a congregation where he worked previously. And we look forward to David and Linda continuing to be with us on Wednesday evenings and at other times. Appreciate the support of the truth that he gives in standing for the truth. I suppose any time that God's Word is presented, there's a sense in which we can call it a sermon. And yet there are times from my vantage point that I view what we're doing maybe a little bit different from what we normally do, and I'm not for sure that I would call what I'm doing tonight as such a sermon in the sense that I usually preach. I want to just make some observations tonight about something that I saw written the other day that made an impression on me and share with you some thoughts that I've had about it that I think maybe can be helpful to all of us. I saw a statement the other day, and I don't even remember where I saw it or who said it, but he made the statement, "I'm not the sun, S-U-N, I'm the moon." And when I saw that the first time, it caught my attention, and I wasn't for sure that I understood exactly what he was saying. In fact, he didn't go ahead and comment on it to really tell me what he had in mind, but I could not get that statement out of my mind. And I began to think about it. I look for things like this that will prompt my thinking in preparing ideas that I can present to you, maybe that will prompt the thinking of all of us to think about God and our relationship to Him. He said, "I'm not the sun, I'm the moon." I immediately thought of a passage back in Psalms 89, verses 36 and 37, where he mentions the sun and the moon. And he seems to be mentioning the sun, and this is in a setting where he's emphasizing that what he had promised David would come to pass and that he would not go back on his promises. He seems to mention the sun as being something that's just there and it's set. And then he says that the moon is established, but he uses a word that's interesting. He said the moon is established as a witness. The moon is a witness to the sun. And in this passage that Rita read a few minutes ago, the 8th chapter of Psalms, the moon is mentioned, but more than that, the relationship of God and man is mentioned. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Do we stop and think about that? I'm glad we use some of the songs like we did to have today, the praise songs, where we praise God. I'm not for sure it wouldn't be good in most of our services when we come together to begin our services with a type of song of praise to God. Some of those songs are really psalms, from psalms like this. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name. It's a hard song to sing, but a wonderful message. And in this psalm, he goes ahead and says, when I consider all that God has done, and I stop and look at man, really, what is man? Who am I? Well, I'm over other things that God has created. I realize that, the psalmist said. And he said, he's made me a little lower than the angels, which I believe is a very positive point. God's made me almost up there with the angels, a little lower, not as high as the angels. But in all of this, he seems to be saying, I need to realize how great God is and where I fit into the scheme of things. And as I think about that, and as I considered this statement, it just seemed to me that this statement has something to say to me. You and I are not like the sun. We're not like the S-U-N. That's more like God. But we really are like the moon. We really are. I think even our boys and girls, even in the lower grades, have begun to study enough in science to know that the moon doesn't have any light of its own. That really it is the reflection of the sun. And though I'm sure Psalm 89 was not written to be a scientific statement, the very fact that he refers to the moon as a witness is at least accurate, that the moon is a witness of the sun. Tonight, if we're able to see the moon and as many clouds as we've had lately, we may have forgotten what it looks like. But if we're able to see the moon, we're really not seeing the light that that moon is putting out itself. We are seeing the moon tell us that the sun is still there. We can't see the sun, but the moon is telling us as a witness, the sun's still over yonder on the other side. You can't see it, but it'll be back. And I'm here to tell you that it's there. The moon becomes a very important part of the universe. Very important part of our part of the universe. Yet it doesn't have any light of its own. It's just a reflection. When our men went to the moon a few years ago and set foot on the moon and saw for themselves, we knew in a way we'd never known before that this fact is true. And there is no doubt in my mind tonight that this is a true fact, that the moon is a body that does not have light of its own, but gives us a reflection of the light that comes from the sun. Let's stop and think about that for a moment. If I'm not the sun, but I'm the moon, that means I'm not the center of everything. And I guess I need to learn that lesson as much as anybody, but don't we all need to learn it? The moon is not the center of everything. In fact, it is just a portion of the section of the universe that we call the Earth. It rotates around the Earth, and with the Earth, it rotates around the sun. The sun is what's fixed. The sun is the center of it all. Now, I know you and I talk about, in a figurative sense, that the sun comes up in the morning and goes down in the evening. It comes up in the east and it sets in the west. But really, I think all of us, even the younger ones, realize when we say that, that it's not the sun that's moving, it's the earth that's moving. And in relationship to the sun, it appears to us that it is moving. But we know that sun is set. God put that sun right there in the very center of it. We're still discovering stars. Bible is true here scientifically in that it says they're innumerable. God talked to Abraham. He used that as a figure of speech. There was a time several years ago, I believe, when those who had the telescopes that they had then began to number the stars and say there are this many and then this many and this many. And finally, we've determined we don't know how many stars. There's a lot out there we don't know about, but we know that that sun is fixed right in the center. And I'm not the center. The moon's not the center. It's the sun that's the center. And so as far as life is concerned, somehow or other, we've got to get God back in that center and realize that God and the earth and all the other people don't revolve around me. I'm not the center. You ever seen a home where there's one person who sort of seems to think that? Maybe the father, the husband, may even be a child. That everybody else has got to jump when he says rabbit, and everything's got to just to revolve around him. And sometimes even parents will say, we've got to revolve everything we do around this one child in order to keep peace. There's a problem when everything has to revolve around one person in the family. Sometimes in the church that seems to be the case. And if one person's not pleased, he's going to be a problem. So we've got to take him in consideration in his fit. Certainly we ought to take everybody into consideration, the feelings of everybody into consideration. But the church cannot revolve around me and be successful. The decisions that are made in the work of the church cannot always be what I like necessarily, what you like necessarily. I think our elders, rightfully so, take into consideration what our needs are, and I think to the extent that it's scriptural, what our desires and likes are. But the world does not revolve around the moon. It does not revolve around me. I'm like the moon in the sense that I am not the source of true light. The source is God. God's there in the center of everything, like the sun is in the center of the universe. And he is the source of light. The moon doesn't have its own source of light. And it is only able to shine, as we think about it, as it has the right relationship with the true source. James 1:17 says that every good gift and perfect gift comes down from God. Comes down from the one who is our maker. And that verse goes ahead and says, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. That sun's not going to change. It's there. The moon may change. It may not even show up as far as we're concerned sometimes at night. It may be different in many ways, and that's because it doesn't have its own source of light to really shine. It's only there to reflect the light of the sun. And isn't that the way we ought to be? Ought we not to be there to reflect the light of the sun? My life should revolve around God, not God around me. The moon with the earth revolves around the sun, not the sun around the moon. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me, Galatians 2 and verse 20. Isn't that saying sort of the same thing that we're discussing? That I'm not the one who is to have everything revolve around me, but my life is to revolve around God. And I'm to live, even while I'm here in the flesh, a life that is centered around Christ, is revolving around Christ as the center, maybe would be a better way to say it. My life is to revolve around God. And then, as we've already indicated in these other points, my life and your life are to reflect the light of God. How many times have we seen that? But how many times have we really sat down and stopped to think about what that really means? I suppose I've quoted Matthew 5:16 as much as any verse in the Sermon on the Mount, maybe as any verse in the Bible. Let your light so shine before men, they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Listen to what it says. See you glorify God. That's exactly what's said about the idea that's there with the moon and the sun. You see the moon, it ought to cause us to think about the sun. You see the light that's in us that's reflected from God and God-like characteristics in our lives. What does it do? It glorifies God. And therefore, my life becomes a light that shines to say to people, there is a God. How many times have you heard someone say that there's a gospel according to Matthew, Mark, Luke, John? There's a gospel according to me. There's a gospel according to you. How many times have we heard people say, well, you know, some people may not even see God unless they see him in us. They might not read him unless they read him in us. In the same way that you and I look at the moon tonight or the next night that it's there where we can see it, and we see the reflection of the sun in the moon, you and I ought to live in such a way that when anybody looks at us, they see the reflection of God in us as we revolve around him and as we reflect the light that comes. But you know, in order for the moon to reflect the light of the sun, it has to be in the right position. There are some times when we have what we call a total eclipse, and there are some times when the earth is exactly between the moon and the sun in such a way that there is no reflection whatsoever. You see, when the moon has the earth move in between it and the sun, there is no reflection of the sun. There's no light from the sun that can hit the moon. We don't even see the moon. It's as though it were not there. And when you and I let things step in between us and God, we may shut off the light source, and we may not be able to reflect the light of God to others either. Is that not the idea of Isaiah 59:1-2? He talks about how God can reach down and help us, and he has the ability to, but he says, your sins and iniquities have separated between you and your God so that he will not hear. And sometimes sin can separate and can cover us up in such a way that we cannot let the light of God shine into our lives and through our lives to others. And people don't see God in us because they cannot see him for the sin in our lives. Maybe it's the sin of selfishness. Maybe it's the sin of immorality, sin of the wrong attitude. Whatever it is, we let those things come between us and God, and we don't reflect the light of God to others. We've got to be in the right position with the right relationship to the source of light before we can reflect that light to others. And then something else that I thought about that I believe is of a great deal of comfort to me, and I hope it is to you. There may be different levels of reflection at different times. Sometimes you go out at night and the moon is full on you, and you see that entire circle. And I tried something a while back. Don't tell the patrolman that I did. But I was driving on the road between the interstate and Decaturville up in that direction on 69. There was nobody else on the road that night, and it was one of the brightest nights I ever saw. And I just flipped my lights off for a few seconds to see if I could see. And I could have driven home that night without my lights. Decided not to do that and turned them back on. But there are times when we look at the moon that we see only a little section of it. A quarter of it, we sometimes say. The rest of it's covered up. It's not reflecting as much at that time as it is at the other time, but it's still reflecting the light from the source the Son. And as I thought about that, I thought about the times that you and I have our ups and downs. There are times that we become a bit disappointed, a bit discouraged. And if I had the time, I'd probably go to 2 Corinthians 4 and read that long list of where Paul talks about the times that he had difficulties, but he didn't give up, and he had problems, but he didn't turn his back on God, and how that he learned to look at the things that are eternal instead of the things that are temporal. Who is there among us but who has gone through times like that? Sometimes even within the same day, I'll have a high and a low. Things will happen, and I don't know whether you realize this or not, but there's probably no work that anyone does where that's more the case than with preachers. We're with you when there's a birth, but we're with you when there's a death. And we're with you when there's the greatest success, and we're with you when there's the greatest problem. And even in our own lives, and by the way, we preachers are about halfway human anyway, in our own lives, there are times that we have those times. There are times that I feel a bit disappointed and maybe a bit depressed. And there are times that I feel like I could walk 2 inches off the ground. But you know, it's important, I think, for us to realize that even when we have those ups and downs, and even when we may not be giving the full reflection, as long as we're still in a position that light from the sun can hit us and go out and maybe just to a smaller degree than it did yesterday or it will tomorrow, but it still goes out to let people know that we're still hanging in there, we're still on God's side, we're still in a position to let the light reflect off of us. Maybe there's a lot of comfort in that, to know that we may not necessarily be like the full moon every day, and there may even be some times when there may not be much of us showing. And I suppose there are even some times when we get like that time that the moon's not seen at all, when there's something completely between us and God. But let's keep in mind that the sun is still there. The source of the light is still there. And everything else is revolving around it. I believe these are some lessons that can help me, and I believe they can help you. I'm not the center of everything. You're not either. We're more like the moon. Each one of us revolves around the center, and that center is God. I'm not the source of the light, and you're not. God is. My life should revolve around God. I should reflect His light to others so that they can see Him in my life. And I must be careful to be in the right position to reflect that light in the right way and not let things come between me and God. But if I do, and especially to some degree I do that, I still need to know that the sun is there, the source of the light is there, and that with a little time and effort I can get things back to where I can reflect the light of the sun as I ought to. I don't know what that man had in mind when he made the statement, "I'm not the sun but the moon," but it caused me to think about these ideas, and I just wanted to share them with you tonight. I'm sure that the sun is in the center. I'm sure that God is in His place. And I'm just as sure that He wants you and me to live in such a way that we can reflect the life that comes from that source. And that means living for Him, just doing what's right, doing what's best, living for Him. That's why we encourage you to become Christians. That's why we encourage you to keep your life, for all of us to keep our lives right with God. Folks, the extending of the invitation, the singing of an invitation song, is not just a habit. It's not something just to fill up space. It's something to remind us that God is the center of it all, and He wants us to revolve around Him. If you are not revolving around Him and letting your light shine for Him, won't you come as together we stand and sing?
Not your heart be saved, oh, tonight. Oh, why I not tonight? Oh,